Hi, everybody. My name is Tom C. I'm a compulsive eater and happy to be up here. I haven't done this for a long time. I'm a little nervous, but I'm really happy, you know, to get my energies and my thoughts focused in order to share. Actually, last night I was having a hard time sleeping. I think it might have been partly nervous about this. Also, I had gum work done yesterday. That's what this bruise is. And maybe that had something to do with it. Anyway, and that's very rare because I'm a good sleeper. I mean, some people are like born athletes or some some are good at math, but I can sleep. I can nap almost anywhere. So it's very unusual for me to be awake in the middle of the night. And finally, I tumbled out on my knees. I prayed and I got some really good ideas about what to share. And in fact, thought about a dear person to invite to this meeting who's not here, but at least I got the, you know, a text, 2:15 in the morning text out to my friend, nephew, actually. So anyway, I have been in program since about 97. I don't know the exact date. And it took me a while to get some abstinence. I was going to meetings in downtown Seattle, and I was getting a lot of good stuff from the literature and from people's shares, but there wasn't much abstinence. People weren't really abstinent. It was still worthwhile because we were getting inspired and you know, keeping in touch, but after a while, I started to go, you know, does anybody really get this thing? Because I sure wasn't getting it. Eventually, I got to another meeting. I got abstinent at O.A. Howe in St. Paul's in Ballard. That's the 5 p.m. Sunday evening meeting. And I wanted to start off with, you newcomers are really, really important. Chuck and Stacy? Is it? Ashley. See how important you are? No. Sorry, Ashley. And anybody else that's new or pretty new, we say you're the most important people in the room. And I used to think that's kind of an overstatement, but in a lot of ways it's true because we've all been newcomers. And for most of us, it was very difficult to walk into the room. And so you're showing us some courage, and you're reminding us of where we've been. Plus, your new blood for the fellowship, and we always need that. So you're most welcome. I also wanted to say, when I first came, I went to a meeting out there at St. Paul's. It wasn't the Howe meeting, it was a different one. And I walked in and I looked and noticed the differences. There's a lot of people of the other gender, a little bit older maybe, and definitely heavier. And I walked out, you know, because I wasn't ready. About a year later, I was in Spokane on vacation. I go over there every year for the Blooms Day fun run and stay with some good friends. Well, they were out of town that weekend, and so I was alone in their house, and the monkey was on my back, and I went like a white tornado through their cupboards, just binging on whatever they had. And I thought, man, this is low. You know, this is bad. I got to do something. So I looked up OA in the phone book in Spokane, went the next day to a meeting, and it was basically the same demographics, same sort of people. But I walked into that room, and I thought, I found my 12-step home. Because I'd been kind of trying to go to AA, but I wasn't really an alcoholic. So it was just, I guess, a matter of being ready. Then as far as finding the abstinence and finding the example, I got out to that OA meeting, that OA Howe meeting, and found a man who was working a good, strong program. And with his help, I got onto a food plan. I started answering questions, and got abstinent. It wasn't easy, but I did get abstinent fairly quickly. And that went on for quite a while until he sponsored me through the first three steps, but he hadn't gone past that himself, so he couldn't sponsor me anymore. Eventually, I drifted away, fell in love and fell out of love, and breaking up with this woman, I just wasn't well prepared, and I got into a pretty darn big relapse. So I had to come back, and I was going to a meeting that it was most, well, anyway, there weren't any men available to sponsor, and I asked one woman to sponsor me, and she said no, but then I think her sponsor talked to her, and she came back and said, yeah, we can try it, and so that woman was my sponsor and talked to me. She said, okay, can you call me at 6:20 tomorrow morning? And I said, yeah, you know, because I was ready to go. The trial came at 6:20 the second morning. Because the first morning, you know, you're all excited and everything. And I remember this moment. Well, it was a crisis. It was the evening of the first full day. So it was, the next day was going to be the second day to call Kim. And I had another long, lonely, dreary day in my life. At least in my mind, it's been that way a lot. And I had a big bag of crunchy snack food, and I was going for it. And I thought, oh, shit, I gotta write and be ready to talk to Kim at 6:20 in the morning. And fortunately, I knew I didn't have to write anything magnificent. Just probably 10 minutes of writing was probably going to be sufficient. And I have this vision that my parents who have passed away, and I had this vision of them and the angels up in heaven looking over, what's he going to do? Is it going to be the chips or is it going to be recovery? By the grace of God, put the chips away, did that 10 minutes of uninspired writing, got up and called her in the morning. And it wasn't always easy, but from that time on, for 2 years, she was there every day for me, even when she was out of town. I mean, the service you can get in this program is just really amazing. I made a little note for myself some time ago along the line. Let's see if there's anything else from here. I want to mention that I have gotten outside help, what we call outside help in the 12-step rooms, meaning like professional psychological help or religious help or something like that. I've been on antidepressants for a long, long time, and still am. And so I want to mention that to people to say that even though this program, miracles happen here, you still make sense to avail yourself to other things. You know, especially if your eating is fueled by emotions like mine was and is. You know, when I was depressed, I eat compulsively. When I wasn't, I basically didn't. So I needed help with the emotions. So I made up this little graphic. It shows a picture of this is a stick figure, but anyway, on a lounge chair with the TV blaring, Z's coming out, passed out, packages and of junk food and apple cores and stuff on the floor. So it says, Tom passed out in front of the TV after another all-night binge of eating, isolating, lying TV, and dreading the incomprehensible demoralization of the next day. I did not want to wake up those damn birds that started chirping. I go, oh, shit, here's another day. And then 2 years later, after crawling back out of the hole with the help of this program, it shows Tom on his knees next to his bed with the big AA Big Books my sponsor had recommended that I get on my knees and read pages 86 to 88, which is the On Awakening section that's about, you know, suggestions about what to do when you wake up in the morning. You open yourself to God and ask for his direction and stuff. And I put a few highlights on here about so that's what it was like. That's more or less what it's like now. I still get up and get on my knees every morning and pray for, and ask for direction. And what happened, so this was back in 05 when all this was happening. So number one, October 05, got a new sponsor, daily 6:20 a.m. meeting with a food plan committed. Point two, writing on the 30 questions. It was really helpful to have, you know, directions on and an assignment, you know, something that I could do, and got me focused on the first three steps, because that's what those questions focus went on. I put number three, about a month later, abstinence and detoxing starts to happen. So, you know, the physical and emotional detox of getting all the junky food out of my system, and, you know, the deep, deep, dark depression starting to lighten up after a month. November of 05, made it abstinent over the first big family hurdle, and that was Thanksgiving at a resort. And, you know, lots of stresses, lots of food. And I probably was talking to my sponsor while I was out there at the resort, and I made it through by the grace of God. April of 06, okay, so I'm not a mystic, and God doesn't talk to me directly a lot, but on this one time, it seemed like I did hear clear words from God, and it was, so I was just about 6 months abstinent, again, working a program. I was on my way out to a meeting, an OA meeting on Saturday afternoon out in Ballard, and I was reading the AA book called Pass It On, and it's the official AA story of Bill Wilson and the founding of AA. And I had just read the passage in that book where it was December of 1934, I believe, in an alcoholic hospital, where he overheard the doctor tell his wife, basically, he's hopeless. Either you're gonna have to keep him under lock or key, or he's gonna get a wet brain. And so that hit him pretty hard. He tumbled out of bed and said a prayer, and he didn't have a drink after that. And he founded AA in Dr. Bob. But anyway, I had just read that passage. And so I'm standing ankle deep in water. Do I have 5 minutes?
No.
Okay.
That isn't the
one. Okay, that's not the one. Okay, about how much time do I have?
Let's see here. I need to unlock my phone. You have two and a half minutes for your 5 minute.
Okay.
Seven minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Ankle deep in water, kind of a sunny spring day. And a little backtracking. Somehow, even though I had a really good upbringing, I had a healthy family. My parents stayed together and stable family and everything. And out of eight kids, I'm the addict. I'm the only addict. So I like to say, who knows why one gets the disease of addiction, and who knows really why one is relieved, because there's many, many people who walk into these 12-step rooms and don't ever really get the help. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of tools that we use that put one in the position to get the help, but still I think there's a certain amount of mystery, and who knows, you know, why some of us get and some don't. Okay. Oh, yeah, but the point being, even though I had this good upbringing, I still had somehow gotten kind of a deep belief in myself that I was corrupt at the core, that it was kind of dark and unstable, and you don't want to go down there, you don't want to look close. And so with that idea, without really thinking about it as a kid, I think I came up with a strategy of I'll really try to look good. And I'll try to be good, and especially to look good. Like, remember, darling, it's more important to look good than to feel good. So I wanted to look good, and I know that was because if I saw a look of admiration or approval in your eyes, that could help give me the feeling, because it wasn't coming from the inside very much. But so anyway, I wasn't expecting it, and all of a sudden I heard these words. It wasn't audible. I know nobody else could have heard it. that the words were, Tom, you're not only not corrupt at the core, you're basically sound and strong, basically stable. And I, wow, that's tremendous. I didn't even know how much I wanted that. And then the next sentence was, and you are perfectly capable of giving and receiving love. Because that was another thing I really doubted about myself. Okay, 5 minutes. Thanks, Stacy. So that was the first, and to this point, the only really, really what felt like clear words from God to me. And even though I was given that, old tapes still come back, even after 20 plus years in program, and I would say, estimating, you know, of that 20 plus years, probably 15 or more of abstinence. My current abstinence is 3 years, but for the most of the last 12 years, I've been abstinent. Those old tapes come back. And also I realize that I am a moody person, and I just have, I've learned that to have a bad feeling isn't a crisis. I used to think it meant there's something really wrong, and see how bad I am, you know, or somebody looks at me sideways, somebody doesn't like me. But I'm learning, you know, still, that sometimes I'm just going to be feeling not very good, and to just go ahead and do the next indicated thing. Like, for example, there's a woman that I've had a crush on for 32 years, and recently I got reconnected with her. I haven't seen her for most of the time. And last Friday I was feeling crappy all day, and I was praying like crazy and everything, but it was time to give her a call, and I thought, oh no, I am not going to be a sparkling conversationalist. I just know it. But it was time to call, so I called. And, you know, we had a good connection. It wasn't anything wonderful. But that the point being just that I needed to go ahead and do the next indicated thing, even though I didn't think I was going to be at the top of my game. Let's see. Well, oh, gosh. During that bad relapse, I had gotten so depressed. I lost a job that I'd had for about 15 years. I just couldn't drag my depressed butt to work another day. My family took me out to the UW, some high-level doctor, and he said, probably about the only thing that might work with this guy at this point is electroshock therapy, electroconvulsive therapy. This was 2005. I didn't know they still did it, but they did, and they still do, I think. And I had 21 sessions of that, and I think eventually, there was nothing very dramatic, but I think eventually that did help me out. I just mentioned that in case anybody's having, again, you might need some serious outside help, depending on your situation. Let's see. You know, so what it's like now, I've been to some of the best meetings in Seattle, have been my home meetings. I'll just mention a couple. The Monday morning Finney Ridge meeting is a great meeting, and the Saturday morning U District meeting is a great meeting, and I love the Friday night meeting and Denny Park. I'm sure there's lots of other really good meetings, but those are the ones I've been to most and have benefited a lot from. Currently, in addition to those meetings, well, I really go to 2 meetings a week, one face-to-face meeting downtown at the Y, and then one men's phone meeting. So if there are any men that might be thirsting for some more male OA action, there are a number of men's meetings, and I'll be happy to tell you about my experience and tell you how to get in contact with them. I'm sponsoring. I have a sponsor. I'm working steps 5, 6, 7 right now. I don't want to give you the impression that I'm. It's kind of casual. I've really gone through the steps completely, really only once in all that time. I've done bits and pieces at other times for various reasons. It's probably time to go through it in a really orderly way again. But, you know, like I do prayer and meditation daily and try to do service. And, you know, so I'm doing some of the steps and tools just on a kind of a routine basis. Anything else about what it's like now? I think the main thing that I want to repeat that point about, sometimes I'm feeling great and I just love you and I love what I have to offer and life is kind of easy. And other days I just feel that corrupt at the core thing's going on and I feel really lousy and I don't particularly like you or want to, you know, I'm socially uncomfortable, don't want to be around many people. But I've learned that I don't have to go home and binge because of that, you know, cut things off. I can continue what's going on and give my best. And for the most part, other people probably hardly notice that I'm not as sparkling as I think I am when I'm sparkling. So I think basically growing up, stopping, running away into the food when things get tough. And that's not easy. Especially when you're starting, but it's really worth it. I think that's what I got to share tonight. Thanks, everybody.